We'll be reading in three places this afternoon. We'll start in Acts. I think it's been not too long since we maybe even read this. But in Acts, in the 17th chapter and the 21st verse, it says, "For all the Athenians, I guess, and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." And if you would, you can turn to the 14th chapter of St. John, a very familiar passage of Scripture. In the 6th verse, it says, "Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And then we're going to turn to Luke. We're going to read in the 24th chapter in the 17th verse, it says, "And he said unto them, Of what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" As we was reading about a certain group of people there that spent their time and nothing else but either to tell or to hear or something new. I think we live in a generation today that so many people, even within the walls of the church, is looking to hear something new, something of entertainment. We even see preachers where they strive to present maybe the old message in a new way so that people would get excited about it. But you know, I was thinking about that this week, and I'm thankful that even though that there are those that are tempted to say or to tell of something new, that the things that bring to the joy in my heart are those things that are simple, those things that are old. The Bible says, Jesus Christ said Himself, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. He wasn't a new way, mind you, but He was that path that the Bible speaks about in the Old Testament, where He said, "Search out the old paths and walk therein." I'm thankful that Jesus Christ is that path. I'm thankful today that I can rejoice in Him, that as I walk in the way, we hear where Jesus, you know, the passage of Scripture that we read in Luke, as He said, "What manner of communication are those that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" You know, these two disciples, they were walking on the way to Emmaus, and they were disheartened because of the things that took about when the Lord asked that, and them not knowing who He was. They said, "Are you a stranger to Jerusalem? Haven't you heard what's going on?" But the Lord was asking these questions to these that walked in the way. He was asking them, "Why are you sad? Look what's taken place. I'm afraid today we're just like those disciples. These things that are bringing us sadness as we're in the way. If we just see with the eyes that Jesus Christ was there speaking to them with, we could say there's no need to be sad. That we can rejoice in the Lord because of what He is bringing about. I'm not no future teller, as some would say, a prognosticator. The one thing I know, that the Lord is going to deliver, that His children have reason to joy in the Lord. Though the time might be dark by some, I'm walking in an old way, but yet it is new. You're looking maybe to hear something new, but I want to tell you that all you need is the old path. Listen to me now. You can go through a drought, and when that rain comes, you don't say, 'There's that old rain.' When you're heavy, when it's been some time since you had a blessing, and that blessing comes, you don't say, 'There's that old feeling again.' You might say, 'There's that familiar feeling. Ain't that a reason to rejoice? Well, that the Spirit of God's not a stranger to you. That you don't have to walk all alone in the way. That you don't have to be sad. That the Lord God Almighty provides us with everything that we need. Why? Because He is that way. He is the truth. He is the life that each and every one of us need today. I'm thankful He's not a truth, but that He's a source of all truth and inspiration. I can't help but think of the simple joys that we can have in life if we were just as we were, walking in the way. Look around at our surroundings. As I already said, there's nothing sweeter than a fresh rain and a drought. I can think just even today of the small things that should bring us joy in our heart. It's our middle son saying, Daryl, or saying, Papa, it's you prayed that it would rain and it's raining. That's something that ought to bring joy to our hearts. The warmth of a fire and an old stove. Nobody says, if you're thankful in a cold night, you don't say, oh, look at that old stove. But you're glad that you can feel the warmth. The snow blows, you know it's winter's fast approaching. You might look at your surroundings and say, I've got an old house, but when the snow blows and you got a wood stove or whatever you might have to eat, you can thank the Lord that you don't have to dwell out in the field like the cattle do. Glory to God, my Lord has provided for me. I'm glad. I was thinking this morning, you know, have you heard old fairy tales where a man would rub on a lamp and a genie would appear and he would ask you or tell you that you have three wishes? Oh, what would they be? Well, I've got one that ain't no genie in a bottle. If the Lord would ask us today, oh, what would we have? What would be our request? I was thinking about that this morning, and I thought, if you had three wishes, and then I begin to think, I would pray for the salvation of my children, that the Lord would save my four children. They're just little. Now listen, if I prayed to a genie, he'd say, wait a minute, no. There's four souls. You're only granted three wishes. But glory to God. But we've got a Father up in heaven that hears the cries of His children. But we have not. The Bible says, because we ask not. If we're hungry today, is it not because we've not asked of the Lord? Oh, what a sad thing to think about in the day that we're living in. So many church-going folk are living a life in destitute of the small things, of those old things that the Lord has blessed us with. And to think about to live a whole life and never ask God for those small things. But I'm thankful that the Lord is more than just in the small things. But in the biggest well, there's not a one in the United States of America that has experienced hunger for an extended period of time. But the world would count it a small thing. But you talk to those that are in famine in Africa, and the basics of a meal and a drink of water seem so far out of their reach. Oh, the small things can be great things. I'm thankful that they're small. I'm thankful that Daryl has to be careful that he takes them not for granted. Listen, there's coming a day when the small blessings of God will not be taken for granted. The Bible speaks about in the Old Testament to the children of Israel. And there's coming a day when you'll not speak of the deliverance from Egypt. And why was that? Because they were going to be led into captivity. And they would speak of the deliverance from the captivity of the Babylonian Empire. Listen. listen, the Lord is telling us today through His holy word that hard times are coming, and yet we walk in the way today and we're sad when we should be rejoicing that when, if that we would dwell in the time that the Bible says is not a time of light but of great darkness and sadness, that yes, we too at that very moment can rejoice because God is bringing about His word that is coming to pass, that one of these days I can lay my body down. You know, that's something we can think about as we're getting older and we're having aches and pains of age, that there's coming a day but that will no longer be. But my dad, as some would say, they eat not, neither are they hungered, speaking of that fleshly body. But listen, the Bible says that those that are absent from the body can be present with Christ Jesus. The Bible says that is in mercy endureth forever. We can rejoice in that, but I'm afraid there are some that have misconstrued what's it mean that God's mercy shall endure forever. Though His mercy may endure forever, and it does, and it will. Listen, there are those that will not be able to experience His mercy forever. That there is a door of mercy that the Bible speaks about that will close, and each and every one of us, if we had a clear vision as they were those when Jesus said and asked them the question on the road to Emmaus, and they said, "Have you not heard? Are you a stranger?" And they begin to tell this man called Jesus and all that He done, and how He'd been put to death. And then if you read it, sounds like that they were doubting, was they not? When they said, and there was those that went to the tomb, and He was not there. And others went and they found Him not. Almost as if to say, not only did they kill Him, but they wouldn't even give Him a good burial. And Jesus began to expound to them through the prophets and all of these things, and began to tell them, "Oh, fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?" Well, if Jesus Christ was to suffer down here in life before He entered into glory, are we greater or above our Master? I'm thankful that those tribulations may come that we'll never have to experience what Jesus did, that it'll never have to come from my lips, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Glory to God. However, I'm to say that. Why? Because I have a Savior. I have a Savior that hung on the cross. We were talking about it in Sunday school. Think about it. My father mentioned a song about Jesus. Well, it came and died on the cross if it were not for me. You know, that's a pretty picture. But we know He come for more than one. It blesses my heart to think that Jesus Christ could have come for me, but yet not me. But the Bible says He stayed. He died for the sin of the world. He could have come just for the Jewish nation. Oh, I'm so glad that He did not come but for one nation or but for one person.
but He comforted me. And I can be counted in that number. That one day gather around the throne of God as it were a sea of glass. I can be, can you imagine? Oh, you see it sometimes on sporting events when the crowd does the wave. Well, I want to tell you what's it going to look like. Oh, in the thousands upon thousands gather around the altar and they raise their hand to God. The fluttering of the hands, surely it will. They'll look like a sea. And a sea of glass. Why? Because the reflection of my Jesus will be on my face. Oh, you might see me walking down here alive sometimes. And ask me, Darrell, why are you sad walking in the way? I want to tell you. When I make heaven my home, my face will shine with the light of the noonday sun. Glory to God. What are you gonna do when you get there? I don't much know, but I know it's gonna be good. I don't know how long I'll sit right there, stand a while, sit a while around the throne of God. But you know, I'm thankful. But sometimes we go to events here in this life. Somebody's got to hurry us on and say, hurry up. We've got things to see. Whether it's going to the zoo or something. Hurry up! We're not going to get her all seen before darkness comes. There'll be nobody hurrying me up when I get to heaven. I begin to look at the foundations of that wall and read the children of Israel's names in here. Oh, nobody's going to have to hurry me along. Why? Because there'll be no night. No need to get inside the coals, the cold or the darkness. I'm thankful that even yet that the story is old for that new convert. Oh, it's something sweet. I heard it all my life, for I was raised in a Christian home, just like my boys and my daughters here tonight. Oh, I look forward to the day when that old story, glory to God, becomes the new wine in their heart. Oh, there's some joy to be had. There's reason to press on, church. Why? Because the old path is still yet to be new to some. But let us not call it, let's call it familiar. Is it a familiar thing with you? Listen to me. As I get older and older, the more and more I dislike change. But you know what? That's just the way it is. Drive through town. They're building houses. I don't even think it's called B&D anymore. Or maybe it is. But the truck stop. And they're building another big old metal building. I don't know what it is. And I say to myself, why can't things stay the same? But listen, as we get older in the Lord, we don't have to worry about some revision or finding out about it, or that we can't keep up with the new crowd, because God's ways are the old ways, the tried ways. I need not fear that because I'm on the path that my granddaddy was on, and I need not fear where it might take me, because the path that he was on was this right here that I hold in my hand. Someone a new way, someone a new version, someone a new look. But lead me to the old ways, the Lord God Jehovah, because I know where they'll take you in the end. And I know as my children, if the Lord would tarry, as it one day will come, that they'll have to bury their father. We've seen in the news where the Amish children were killed in that school. I've met a few Amish. I have as customers. And you know, they're like everybody else. I went into several communities, and not to be judging anybody, but there was one community that I went in, and I felt a darkness. I think there was some truly evil people there dressed in black and white. Then in this other community, particularly with this one family, I've seen a man that loved God. I've seen a man that was wanting to win people to the Lord. So I don't know. That community back in Lancaster, but I'm glad that in that tragedy, I've seen a young man dressed in an old way, and he said, "I must forgive, because the Bible says that if I forgive not those, my Savior won't forgive me." Listen to me, that was an old truth. Regardless of who that man was, I've seen a reporter repeat those very words. Men no doubt didn't know the Lord, but aren't you glad, young or old, lost or saved, there are people declaring the truth that is found in God's Word. We even see it in our government. We see it in our people. We see it today in campaign ads. Almost as if one is trying to appeal. Oh, life isn't fair. You need to vote for me. But listen, if you listen to them close. My wife was talking about it last night. See, so between these two that are running for elected office, she said, who can you believe? I said, you've got to listen to them close. Both of them were speaking the truth, but they were leaving out certain important information. One was saying, life isn't fair, won't you vote for me? But listen, they weren't promising them fairness. They were just want them to say, you're not feeling good now. Well, it's time for a change. Well, listen, a change for the worse and a change for the better. But the Lord promises us, regardless of where we're at on the way, but if you'll just listen to me, as those two were walking in the way, two men with so much on their mind, they didn't fully comprehend it. Jesus Christ walked with them a while. Listen, if you find yourself in the way and you're sad, won't you just ask the Lord, Lord, I need you to walk with me in the way. You know, I don't know who those two disciples were. But you know what? The first gospel message they preached after the resurrection of Jesus Christ was to Jesus himself. Listen to me. Today, if you lack the words to speak to a brother or sister in Christ or a lost loved one, maybe it's first because you haven't spoke to the Lord. Listen, take your cares and your burdens to the Lord and begin to talk to him as he were a companion to pass the time with as you walked in the way. Let's get some song to sing. Have you lost your joy? And maybe it could be just for the simple reason, as these disciples here were, they the things that were bringing them trouble in their hearts, bringing them worries, confusion, and doubt. It was the very thing they needed to be shouting about. But you know what? There was such an uncertainty with all the events. Listen to me. And they were just human, just like you and me. Can you imagine hearing all of the things that they heard, how it would overwhelm a person? And even today, sometimes we get overwhelmed. But I'm thankful that we need not look for a new way, and that we need to step back and look at the old simple way that the Lord has blessed us with. You know, the Lord spoke to our heart when our father mentioned this morning in the message about Ananias and going to the Lord, or the Lord coming to him and saying, there's a man and his name's Saul, and he prays. And that he has seen a vision that Ananias had come and that he might receive his sight. And Ananias was worried. But yet the Lord had told him, this man prays. You know, I've tried to share the Lord with some. One instant in particular, you guys know about it. And before we could leave the house, as we was leaving the house, there was a man and he pulled a gun on me. But you know what? I long for the day that the Lord would get my attention and speak to me. I'd love to go back there. I'd love to hear the news. But Daryl, you need to speak to this man lying in his bed before he prays. And I know that the Lord's big enough to communicate that to us. But you know, breaks our heart, don't it, when there's those that we care for so deeply that they have such a hatred for God that it's bent even toward us. But I'm praying that the old ways might win those people over. I don't know that I'd ever be able to reach them. Because, you know, sometimes there's nothing more that infuriates a liar than the truth. You know, there are those people that all they've got to do is look in the mirror and tell a lie to themselves, but for once, and they'll believe it like it was the truth. And no matter how much persuasion you might bring, they'll just not believe it. And then there are those that are walking in the way, as it were, down through life. And they have spent a lifetime of constructing idols and just constructing lies. But yet they see the emptiness and the hollowness of it all. And when we come and we try to be that voice of consolation, when we try to be that voice of truth, they don't do as these two disciples do and turn their ear and hear the Scripture, but they strike out in anger. Because to recognize Jesus Christ as the truth, as the way, the truth, and the life, is to say that their whole life has been a waste. But I would much rather my whole life be a waste and my death to be a bust. You know, we're going to be trying to build some fence there on the farm. And the easiest way to build fence is to stretch a straight line between two dirty corner posts. But you know, with this hilly ground around here, it's not always possible. Or when a creek runs through a field, you just can't make straight lines, can you? Sometimes you have to make those lines that follow the contour of the ground. You know, straight lines or straight fences are easy to put in.
But if they're in the wrong direction or if they get over on the neighbor's property, you'll soon find out that that straight line that you thought you was making is going to bring you hardship and trouble. That's the way the world is. They think that they've laid down a straight line. But they've placed that line down the crooked road that they're walking. The Bible says, broad is the way. But be not deceived. Not only is it broad, it's crooked. Straight is the way. You want to live a straight and tall life, you need to spend it for the Lord. You know, there's not a one of us that couldn't stand and testify the fact that we've made mistakes in life. For none of us are perfect. But you know, the first thing we need to do to overcome those failures is to cry out to the Lord that He might show us a new way. Well, only a new way, maybe to us if we've never accepted Him as our Savior. But if we've been born again, that He might point out the old way, the familiar way, the way that will only bring everlasting joy, so that we might truly be able to say that His mercy endureth forever, and that we that are His children, that we might experience that mercy. Because unfortunately there are some that have claimed that truth, that God's mercy endures forever, and yet don't realize that they have not joined themselves to that mercy that He has provided for mankind. And that one day that door of mercy is going to close. Just as sure, if the Lord doesn't come before your death, just as sure as an undertaker, it's going to close that lid on your coffin. But in life, there's a door of mercy that closes. And I don't know when that'll be, just like I don't know when the undertaker or whomever it might be sees you for the last time. But as long as there is breath in the lungs of mine enemies, I'm thankful and that there is reason to hope. And I long for the day that the Lord might come to me as my father preached about Ananias and communicate to me that I need to go speak to somebody. You know, I've been waiting for an apology and I don't imagine one's to come, and except there be a heart change. But you know, if the Lord tells Daryl I'd go once again, I'll not look for an apology. My wife had a dream last night. And she seen one of her relatives, and he was in the hospital. And they acted like nothing ever happened. And she said, I kept on waiting for an apology and it never came. Do you know that there are certain people in life that cannot resolve conflict? I was listening to it on the radio. I didn't know how to put it. I knew that's the way it was. And he said that there are just certain people that have not the life skills, as it were, is how he said it, to resolve conflict. And that when some conflict should arise, and that there is no way that they can make peace with it, and that they just do one thing right after another that escalates of the conflict. You know, I thought that's sad. And that's sad that there's children that grow up and the parents don't teach them those things. You know, I think in school now, there's some college courses. And pretty much, I mean, it's more than that, but it's basically teaching college age kids how to balance budget, balance your checkbook, and do all those things. And I just thought, well, that's silly. You know, I could think of other things I need to learn in college, because see, that's costing you a lot of money. But they said there are so many children that leave home and they have no skills whatsoever in how to balance a checkbook. Go to school. I guess something. Go to school for 13 years. Know how to do math and don't know how to balance a checkbook. But there's a lot of children leaving home with a lot less than just the knowledge of how to balance a checkbook. And you know, and we see that. We see families that are nothing but brawlers, and they raise children to be the same way. Now, how many of us in our Christian life would be more effective in our communication, as it were, and be able to resolve conflict if we would just accept the lessons that the Lord gives us in His Holy Word, and that the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts? It's unimaginable to some, as we've mentioned about the children there, the Amish children that was brutally killed, the girls anyway, in Pennsylvania. And there was this, I heard it more than once in the news. Just can't imagine how you could forgive somebody. Well, number one, those people that feel that way, no doubt think those Amish girls died like a dog, never more to feel joy, never more to feel anything, and that their life was stolen from them before they could ever experience the joy of being a mother, or being a wife, or just being an older teenager. But you know, that's no doubt something that brought peace to these Amish folks' hearts back yonder, as well as can bring peace to us. And that in the midst of tragedies such as those, and that if our children are saved, or if they should die before, as it were, the age of accountability, that we can thank the Lord. We can thank the Lord that He has taken them to His place of abode. Messina, where was I at? Oh, I was in Marshfield. I was coming back from Springfield last weekend. And I don't know, I'm sure there's just as many Down syndrome girls as there is boys, but it seems like I see more boys. But anyway, we was in line. In come a couple, and they had a girl that was Down syndrome, and she had, and I usually don't, and I don't know that I've ever seen a one with really long, pretty hair, and she had real long, pretty hair, and she was waiting in line, and then they was eating there, and I seen how they were helping her, and you know, I was watching some teenagers there in the Taco Bell, and they were sitting, and I think they were looking, you know, on and kind of thinking it was pitiful and sad. You know, just a thought entered my mind that, you know, those are very special children, very special human beings. Because, my understanding of the Scripture is, there's not a one God created that He didn't take to heaven. And how many parents are so proud of their healthy, smart, athletic children, that there's coming a day where the angels will bind their hands and their feet and cast them into a place of outer darkness. If you had three wishes, what would they be? If you're really honest with yourself, you don't have to tell me, that it would reveal who you are, what your hopes and dreams are. It might be well to go home tonight and get on your knees and not wish for things, but that you might pray whatever your three most concerns are, that you'd pray to the Lord. And then wait upon Him. And I believe that each and every one, if we would do that, that we'd not walk in the way and be sad, but the Lord would encourage us. For we have not because we have.